Now, you make a radical suggestion that around 2300 BC, all natural processes worldwide come to an abrupt halt. Then they restart again. What happened?
Yes. This is the time of the great disaster we're talking about, and I can pinpoint it to the year 2345 BC. Not myself only, but scientists who have investigated this carefully have all come not just to the fact that it occurred so recently, but that it occurred that very year, quite from independent evidence that each one digs up. So here is something that we haven't talked about yet. The world as a whole doesn't know about this yet, but it's going to overthrow everything we've been taught about our ancient history.
Fascinating. Okay, kind of paint us a picture. What does the planet look like at around this time period, before the event occurs?
Before the event, we talk about continental drift. Now, that's a myth. It was a continental split. The great disaster split, cracked the continental mass, which was a one-world continent, which was a climate pretty well much like a spring-like loveliness from pole to pole. Now, all geologists will agree that the Earth at some stage had that climate. Well, I'm suggesting that before this great disaster, that's what the climate was, and not only from science, but from records in ancient races as well, from the Mexicans right across to the Chinese and the Egyptians. Now, at this time, the Earth was tilted on its axis violently, very suddenly, and the stresses that this generated in the surface of the Earth caused a quick breakup. A crack would have appeared, which would have traveled around the world at about 8 miles a second. And in just a few hours, there would have been tremendous volcanism bursting out of the subterranean basins. We estimate about 30,000 volcanoes.
How deep do you think all this was?
Well, we have water-laid sediment. As we drill through now, it goes down at least 10 miles deep in many places.
Oh, my gosh.
60,000 feet deep. So this was an upheaval that churned up continent and seas together on an enormous scale.
The seas would just filter into it like they were going down a drain, wouldn't they?
Yes. But with the volcanoes, George, also, something like 80% of the gaseous material coming out of volcanoes is water.
Wow.
Enormous amount of water would be expelled from under the surface, plus the amazingly large underground water basins. And there was, according to the climate we have, something like a terrarium, like you'd get in a terrarium today. That climate, pole to pole, would have been protected by a vapor canopy above the atmosphere. And there's good scientific evidence that such a canopy exists around some of the planets.
Now, this isn't what the Bible has talked about, the great flood of Noah, is it?
Well, it does speak of that. And you can name it the great flood of Noah, or you can simply call it the great deluge, whichever you want. It's the same event.
It is the same event. Okay.
The same event, yeah.
So we might have had a survivor or two.
Yes, there was a handful of survivors. And interestingly enough, a number of races around the world trace themselves back to this very same period to the same survivors. There's a tribe in China, Chinese. There are African tribes. There are the royal families of Ireland, of Norway, of Denmark, and Iceland, who have kept unbroken genealogical records going back to the same event, and they all have the same names for the flood surviving ancestors.
This sound of this cracking planet must have been immense. Can you imagine that?
Yes, it's hard to imagine. Imagine 30,000 thunders bursting out of the ground with fire and water.
Now, what, in terms of the inhabitants prior to this episode, what did they look like? I mean, were there modern cities? Did they have, the amenities of life? Or were they just kind of Stone Age type people?
Oh, they had the amenities of life. We're digging down and we're finding the remains of the most sophisticated machinery, not actually machinery, or it could be parts of machinery, George, we're not sure. Either machinery or machine-made objects.
Give us some examples.
Well, a machine-made cube was found in a coal mine over in Austria some time ago. It was written up in a British scientific journal and a French scientific journal, and it ended up in a museum in Germany. and I believe it's still there. We have gold chains. We have iron pots. We have all sorts of everyday objects being found, thimbles, and they've got designs on them. We have parts of buildings under the ground in coal mines. We have the remains of people that have been found which appear to be very much like ourselves in appearance. And we have drawings of clothing, which is like our own modern clothing.
Hmm.
I mean, fashions do change and go in cycles, as you can appreciate.
Yeah, they sure do. White tie, skinny ties are all coming back, aren't they?
Yes.
What kind of cataclysm could have done all this?
Well, this would have. Let me give you a scientific discovery that has been made in relation to this. I think perhaps that we could look at the work of Dodwell, who was a scientist in Australia. He, in fact, was one of the most eminent Australian scientists known in the history of that country. And he was actually Astronomer Royal for the Royal Adelaide Observatory. And he studied the observations made over hundreds of years through history all over the world relating to the relationship of our planet to the rising and setting of the sun. And thousands of annotations have been made through history, and he compared them and drew a graph. And the graph showed that our Earth had been tipped on its axis to about 26.5 degrees from an upright axis originally, and that it had slowly been wobbling back like a top to the present 23.5 degrees. And Dodwell then calculated from his graph and curve just how long ago this would have taken place. And he actually didn't make a vague guess. He actually made a very firm calculation, which was checked and rechecked by other scientists who have written about it, by the way, and confirmed that his calculations were correct. And he came to the conclusion and published it that the Earth was violently tipped on its axis in the year 2345 BC.
Huh.
And a sudden displacement of the Earth's axis would cause the destruction of the entire surface of the planet. He was convinced that it occurred. And this sudden change in position would leave the Earth wobbling like a disturbed top. And indeed, the Earth is wobbling on its axis today.
That's true.
Now, George Dodwell, by the way, he served in the South Australian Observatory for 53 years. And his work gained worldwide recognition. In fact, he is commemorated by a plaque on the site of the old observatory in the West Terrace in Adelaide. That's how respected this man is. Now, what he called it was the secular variation of the obliquity of the ecliptic. Now, put simply, that's the measurement of the sun's shadow length by ancient astronomers from all the different continents.
Okay.
Now, Dodwell's research was confirmed by Dr. Rhodes W. Fairbridge of Columbia University and published in Science magazine, which is one of the highest regarded magazines on Earth among scientists. So the evidence shows a tipping of the axis in 2345 BC, followed by a measurable corrective wobble. And there's a clear pattern of recovery since that date that has not been disrupted to this day.
Hmm.